the Lord will soon appear with power and glory to take all his own to eternal bliss. We lift up our hands, Lord, victoriously to you. We know that the end is near, at the door. Who then can lift up his head with joy? And without trembling, enter into eternity. We lift up our hands, Lord, victoriously to you. We know that the end is near, at the door. We bring glory to the Lord for victory in this time. How I would like to be in glory. We lift up our hands, Lord, victoriously to you. We know that the end is near, at the door. There we know no parting, when we are at home with the Lord. Even all pain and suffering remain eternally far from us. We lift up our hands, Lord, victoriously to you. We know that the end is near, at the door. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, I greet you warmly in the precious name of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is a special day, the last day of this year. And we look back on what God has done. It was my 90th birthday a week ago. And I would like to thank everyone who sent their emails, birthday cards and greetings. There must have been over 80 of them. And we thank the Lord for doing great things for many, many people, especially in the last 3 years. I look back on many years, actually to 1949, when I first attended an international Pentecostal conference and heard the report that was given about Brother Branham. It spoke to me directly. And then came the years 1953 and especially 1955 when I attended Brother Branham's meetings in Karlsruhe. And after the meetings, I really only had one wish: to shake hands with this man of God and exchange a few words with him. And I was standing at the hotel reception, and suddenly this kind gentleman said that the gentleman with Branham were now coming into the lobby. And I turned around, and Brother Branham looked at me and said, "You're a preacher of the gospel." And he pointed to his left, about 10 meters away. "Your wife is standing there at the exit with the luggage." I was actually able to experience the prophetic ministry that was given to Brother Branham by grace from the very beginning. And so it was during the 10 years from 1955 to 1965, that I was with him in meetings. I spoke with him and had fellowship with him. I spoke with him by telephone from Krefeld. I still have 21 letters from the correspondence about important Bible questions and topics. I'm just grateful to God that He gave me the grace to get to know the promised prophet for our time personally and to experience his ministry. And I can truly say what my eyes have seen and my ears have heard, I can testify to all around the world. And this is how God has led us. Today, on the last day of this year, we look back and thank the Lord from the bottom of our hearts. It has truly been the most blessed year that we have experienced by grace. As you know, ...2019 marked the end of a chapter. I was able to travel until then. And everyone knows that I was traveling every month for over 50 years. 55 years, to be precise, to proclaim the word. And you all know the world map from one end to the other, all peoples and languages have been reached. And God really led me in such a way that I was able to make contact personally. And when the time of traveling came to an end, God made sure that all the brothers worldwide could be looked after, and that the transmissions of the sermons could now be sent out directly at once in 15 languages worldwide. Every Wednesday, every Saturday, and every Sunday, everyone around the world can listen in, and it goes to the millions that God has reached in all these countries. The word of the Lord does not return void, but it accomplishes what it was sent to do. And today, we are going to talk about divine calling, divine commission, divine sending. We all know that John the Baptist was a promised prophet. We all know the passage from Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Everyone knows the scripture from Malachi chapter 3. I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. When the time was fulfilled, it happened. And we will read afterwards that John arose according to the word of God, according to what prophets had predicted for centuries. And we will also refer to the fact that Brother Branham was a promised prophet. You can all read about it. It is also written of him, "Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things." You can read about him in Matthew 17, especially verses 10 and 11. Moses and Elijah were on the Mount of Transfiguration talking to our Savior. And when this conversation was over, there was only one question left. Why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? Thanks be to God for this question, and thanks be to God for the answer from the mouth of our Lord. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. And anyone who goes to Malachi will be able to read both with reference to John the Baptist. It was written, "He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." The Old Testament fathers waited for the promises to be fulfilled. And this happened in the New Testament. First, through the ministry of John the Baptist, and then through all of God's children. But the second was that he would turn the hearts of the children back to their fathers. And this has happened and is happening in our time, that the hearts of God's children are really being brought back to the beginning, to what our fathers, whether it was Peter, John, James, whether it was Paul, what our fathers taught in the beginning had to be restored. And that happened through the ministry of Brother Branham. We all know what happened over the 2,000 years of church history. We know what has happened since the Reformation and also directly before the Reformation. But in our time, not only partial truths have been proclaimed, but the whole counsel of God. All the doctrines have been proclaimed. Everything as it was in the beginning. In all past revivals, there were men of God, but they were not prophets. Luther was not a prophet. Wesley was not a prophet. John Smith was not a prophet. Menosimos was not a prophet. All these men of God, through whom new denominations arose, were evangelists, and they proclaimed what had become great to them. But none of them was a prophet. But it is indeed written that the word of the Lord comes to the prophets. The prophet is a direct mouthpiece of God. And before a prophet could say something, the Lord had to reveal it to him. And that is why the prophets could say in their proclamation, "Thus saith the Lord." Martin Luther never once said, "Thus saith the Lord." John Wesley, William Booth, John Smith, and Menosimos, who they all were, not a single one of them was able to say a single time, "Thus saith the Lord." But they proclaimed what had become great to them from the Word. And one revival after another came, and it went deeper and deeper until the Pentecostal revival. But even in the Pentecostal movement, no founder was able to say, "Thus saith the Lord." The gift of prophecy was then revealed. But brothers and sisters, let's get to the point. God has fulfilled His word and sent His prophet. And God also fulfilled His word and gave me a direct calling so that I had to go from city to city to preach the word and to give out the spiritual food, the revealed word. And we know Brother Branham had the Thus Saith the Lord of the Word of God. And we are grateful to the Lord that we are allowed to experience the end of the time of grace. And we are indeed very, very close to the end. Now, we are going to read some scriptures. And I would especially like to send my heartfelt greetings to all the brothers and sisters in our country, in Switzerland, and in Austria, who have written their emails or otherwise sent greetings. And also to everyone in all nations and tongues. God bless you all and listen to what the Lord has to say to us. Here you go. We read from 1 Timothy 6, verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 6, verses 14 and 15. Carry out the commission in such a way that you may remain without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Blessed and praised be our Lord. For the first time, this promise is being fulfilled. Carry out the commission in such a way that you remain blameless until the return of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, back then, whether Peter, Paul, or Timothy had been given a commission, but the return of Jesus Christ was still 2,000 years away. But now we have arrived before the direct return of Jesus Christ, and the last commission must be carried out in holiness, in righteousness, in truthfulness. Now, before the return of Jesus Christ, please reread this Bible passage again. And I have carried out this commission since the passing of Brother Branham, and have brought the last biblical message of salvation to the whole world, and have carried out the commission in such a way that I will stand my ground before God, and this with all those who have believed the divine message of salvation. Carry out the commission like this, in such a way. Thanks be to the Lord. There are many things in my life that I would do differently. But when it comes to the commission, the calling, the sending, I would do everything 100% exactly as I have done it. And all those who believe are blessed and experience their preparation for the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here you go. We read from Romans 10, verse 15. Romans 10, verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? This is also very important. How can anyone preach the word, the message, without being sent? Who can carry out a commission in the kingdom of God without having received a commission? And I say it quite honestly, if I had not received this tremendous calling on the 2nd of April 1962, I would not have needed to carry out the commission. I would not have been able to carry it out at all. But with God's help, because of the calling and commission, I was able to do it. Here you go. We read from Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. We all know that great things happened in the days of Isaiah. He was the most powerful prophet in the Old Testament. In terms of the plan of salvation, no one foretold as much as the prophet Isaiah. From the birth of the Son of God up to the new heaven and the new earth. And we all know that when he was transferred to the other side, he saw the Lord. Cherubims and seraphims surrounded the Lord. And then the question, whom shall I send? And Isaiah then said, send me. He knew that he had been called to do so. Praise and glory be to the Lord for every divine commission that all the prophets have received. Jesus Christ is still the same today. And he called and sent Brother Branham. And he called and sent Brother Frank. We continue reading. We read from John 1, verse 6. John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Amen. We have already mentioned that too. A man appeared. But not only that he appeared, a man appeared, sent by God. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's not about just anyone appearing, but rather a man appeared, sent by God, with God's message for that time period, and all those who listened to God received and accepted the message of the messenger, and it could be said of him that he prepared a people for the Lord. And he could truly say, I baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This fulfillment was on the day of Pentecost, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place. A man sent by God. Here you go. We read from John 13, verse 20. John 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Amen. Today, beloved brothers and sisters, it is simply a matter of respecting the divine plan of salvation and the divine order of the plan of salvation. And we are truly grateful to the Lord from the bottom of our hearts that He has taken care of this and was able to say in advance, if I send someone, if I call someone, if I give someone a commission, whoever receives him receives me. He receives what I am presently doing, because a messenger proclaims the word of God of the hour. He does not go back into the past, but says what God has to say to his people today. And we emphasize this. We have arrived right before the return of Jesus Christ, and it is the last message, and therefore the divine calling. And then whoever hears the one I am sending hears me. Never have I preached a doctrine of my own. Never have I proclaimed an interpretation until this day. Not a single interpretation. Only the holy, precious, everlasting Word of God. Please remember that the Lord made an emphasis right here. Twice he said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Today he says it to you and you and you. Today he says it to us. Today he says it to all who hear the message. Here you go. We read from Hebrews 3, verse 7. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, thanks be to the Lord. Today, we do not live yesterday, we live today. And the Lord is today bringing his people back to the Word. Not just to speak and preach about salvation, but to experience full salvation, full redemption, the precious and holy blood, experiencing what happened through it, forgiveness, reconciliation, grace, and salvation, to accept it all and experience it all by grace. It is the blood of the new covenant that was shed for us, the people of the new covenant, in order to redeem us completely and set us completely free, so that we are perfected as the covenant people of the New Testament, as the Church of Jesus Christ, all the way to the Bride. Thanks be to the Lord. Today, the word of the Holy Spirit applies, that he has spoken for this time, whether in the Old or New Testament, and especially the word, the prophetic word, applies to us in our time, because he has spoken it through the Holy Spirit, and it must be revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Here you go. We read from Ephesians 1, verse 9. Ephesians 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. To this we can really only say Amen again. He has made known to us his mystery, his plan of salvation, his promises. He has truly revealed everything to us. We are not living in a time when partial truths have been revealed. We live in a time when the whole counsel of God, with all its promises and everything that goes with it, is now being fulfilled. And we have submitted to it. We have recognized that there is only one God who has revealed himself for our salvation as Father in heaven, in his only begotten Son on earth, and in us, in the Church, through the Holy Spirit. And we have recognized that there are not three Eternals, three Almighties, three Omniscients. We know that there is no Trinity. Not once does the Bible mention a triune God or a Trinity. Not once. And it's the same with baptism. Even there, the translators were not 100% accurate as Trinity people. For example, Matthew 28, where the original text actually says, "And baptize them into my name." And the other translator even says, "And baptize them into the name in which God has revealed himself as Father in the Son and through the Holy Spirit." It is always about the name, even if you read in our Bible, and baptize them in the name of the Father. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. What is it about? It's about the New Testament covenant name, which is above all names, and into which we must be baptized. This is how Peter baptized. This is how Paul baptized. This is how the apostles baptized until the 3rd century. This is how Martin baptized in the first 300 years. People were only baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was only with the invention of the Trinity that the triune baptism was added. And that is why everyone must be told. Anyone who has not yet been baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ must be baptized as soon as possible. Here you go. We read from Hebrews 4, verse 1. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, lest any of you turns out to be left behind. To this too we say twice, Amen, Amen. O God, lest any of those who believe the divine message, who believe in the divine sending of Brother Branham, and who believe that the divine commission has been carried out since the passing of Brother Branham, lest any of them would be left behind, but that all would believe God. Brothers and sisters, you don't believe Paul or Peter or Branham or Frank. You believe God's holy word. And we will see in a moment what else is emphasized in the Holy Scriptures. Here you go, Brother Borg. We read from Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8. Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, we all know what the Lord has predicted. Please remember it. Wars, earthquakes, famines, all this is just the beginning. We are in the end times, and we have already experienced the beginning. But it goes on, it goes on. And then we come to the phase where it is written, then the end will come. So there is also a beginning of the end times. And there is an end. And that's why we are going to read two more scriptures that belong to it. Here you go. We read from Luke 21, verse 28. Luke 21, verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Again we can say Amen, for our Lord said, from the fig tree learn a parable. When it becomes tender, and even in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were described as a fig tree. So these are not just wars and famines, but also a very special sign of the end times. So this is the beginning of the labor pains. And then it goes on and on. And we can now see the labor pains that have come upon Israel. And what is currently happening in the Gaza Strip. But after all this comes the 7-year treaty. And Armageddon is coming. But we don't want to go into that. What I'm interested in today is the beginning, the continuation, and then the end. Here you go. We read from Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And then shall the end come. So, the beginning, the continuation, and then the end will come. The end will not come with wars and rumors of wars and famines, but as particularly emphasized by our Lord, that the everlasting gospel, the eternally valid message of salvation, as it is also written in Revelation 14, verse 6, will be preached to all nations for a witness. May I now say, and may I now ask, has the everlasting message of salvation, the full gospel, the full biblical teachings, has all this been preached in the past centuries? No, and again no. But here we have the promise of the Lord that at the end of the time of grace, the message of salvation will be preached to all nations and tongues. Has there ever been a man? Did Luther visit 20 countries? Did Wesley visit 30 countries? Did John Smith visit 10 countries? Did any of them visit the whole world? Has there been a single one? Has Billy Graham preached all over the world? Not even in 20 countries. But the promise is that the divine message of salvation will be preached to all nations. And how can someone preach to them without being sent to do so? And that is why Brother Branham had to say at the end of the seventh seal on the 24th of March, 1963, I have carried the message as far as it is meant for me to go. God will find someone he can use to carry the message to the whole world. And we are truly grateful to the Lord. Please recognize the two scriptures, whether Matthew 24:14, the message of salvation will be preached to all nations for a witness, so that no one has an excuse, that all in all churches and denominations, in all peoples and tongues, all have heard of what God has done in our time after the Second World War. They have heard how the revival, the healing revival, came about within the Pentecostal movement, and how God used Brother Branham through the gift of healing in a special way, and also through the gift of prophecy. Brothers and sisters, and then in the book of Revelation, the man of God sees the eagle flying through the sky, and then the word eternal is added. Not just the message of salvation, but the everlasting gospel that was there at the beginning 2,000 years ago, when there was no interpretation, no falsification, nothing, just the Word of God for every doctrine. The same everlasting gospel has been proclaimed in our time to all peoples and tongues. And the Lord then said, then the end will come. Brothers and sisters, I say it in the name of the Lord. We are very close to the end. Now, all those who have heard the message must consecrate their lives to God, put things in order in their personal lives, in their marriages, in their families, so that we may all be pleasing to God, and that we, like Enoch, receive the testimony that he had pleased God. And brothers and sisters, we even read in Ephesians 4 that all those who had already been sealed with the Holy Spirit had to put off their old nature, their old man, and put on the new. May now all true children of God live out the divine life, that everything that belongs to the earthly world is laid aside. You can read for yourselves, whether in Galatians 5 or Ephesians 4, what must be put off, and then what must be put on. And after putting off the old, we put on the new man. After we have taken a bath in the Word and have really been washed from all traditions and false teachings, and have been sanctified in the Word of God, according to the Word of the Lord, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So, we have two special things. One is the promises and the fulfillment for the church, and the other is Bible prophecy, that is being fulfilled worldwide, wars, famines, and all that the Lord has foretold. Let's stop here once again. The beginning of the labor pains, and then it goes on, and then comes the end. The last sign is the proclamation of the divine message of salvation to all peoples and tongues. And this promise has been fulfilled before our eyes. And we can say, today, all the scriptures have been fulfilled up to this one, that this divine message of salvation has been proclaimed to all nations. So please, dear brothers and sisters, take God's word seriously. Put off the old man. Be renewed in your innermost being, so that the love of God, which is the bond of divine perfection, may embrace us all. That divine love may be found in the body of the Lord, in the church of the living God, and especially in the bride church, in which all things are now coming to a completion. Brothers and sisters, we come to the end. May the Lord God bless you and be with you. We are looking back on many years, and I will mention it just once more. On the 24th of December, 1965, between 10:30 and 11 in the evening, the Lord took Brother Branham home, and I saw him go up on a cloud on the 24th of December, 1965. But already on the 31st of December, 1965, with a mighty voice, "My servant, I have put my sword in your hand." From then on, one supernatural experience followed another. Again and again, the Lord gave instructions. Again and again, He addressed me as my servant. And so we look back on the many, many years in which the Lord gave instructions, led, guided, so that the last message would reach the ends of the earth. Imagine, I would have been taken home in 1974, when I had planned the journey to India. If the Lord had not said with a mighty and audible voice, "My servant, cancel the trip to India." I had just come into the office with the ticket and had just taken a few steps when the voice came from the window, "My servant, cancel the trip to India." And beloved, I actually went out into the car, drove to the edge of the forest, cried, prayed, and said, "Lord, the meetings are planned and arranged in all the cities. I have to go. I have the ticket, and the people are waiting. I have to make the journey." I came back to the office. It must have been a 11:15 that morning. And I tell you with what force the Lord spoke to me when I had just entered the room with such a voice, "My servant, cancel the trip to India." And you have all read it in your newspapers and heard it in the news. My flight 171 from Bombay to Madras caught fire and went up in flames, and 96 passengers and crew perished. My name was on the list. I have been sent my boarding pass. Brothers and sisters, if I were to tell you how often the Lord spoke, gave instructions, I look back on a time when I find the scriptures we read confirmed in my life. How can anyone preach to them without being sent all these scriptures we read? And I thank the Lord for confirming this calling through Brother Branham. Brothers and sisters, I must come to a close. May God bless the end of this year, which we celebrate with gratitude. God bless the coming year, and let me make this remark: the return of Christ will after all come at the appointed time. Nobody knows the day and hour. And you know, we have a chorus that says over and over again, "It could be the last time. It could be the last time." And about a week ago, I was sitting in the office singing this chorus after I prayed. And then I suddenly said, "Beloved Lord, the new year 2024 is upon us." And I actually sang it. It could be the last year. It could be the last year. Brothers and sisters, nobody knows, but it could be. All Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, even now with the Middle East, with everything. Everything is in the final development and is going on, and we can expect new news every day. May the Lord God bless all who believe the divine message and who believe that God has called and sent Brother Branham. And after he had taken him and called and sent me, all those who believe the divine commission and are being prepared, and together we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Whether it will be next year or the year after, but it will happen shortly. Blessed and praised. May God grant us a year like never before, with a full blessing, with all that God has promised us. Be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And especially all ministering brethren, be blessed. Pass on the food to the people of God. in Jesus' holy name. Amen.